Random House Audio presents Conduct Under Fire. Four American doctors and their fight for life as prisoners of the Japanese, 1941 to 1945. By John Glusman. Read for you by Harry Chase. Epigraph. Patriotism is selfless, and it is not the generals who are the bravest. They usually have the means to stay away from the battle and thereby lengthen their lives. The bravest are usually those whom we do not know or hear about. It has always been the many faceless men, those foot soldiers, who have suffered most, who have died. It is they who make a nation. F. Salonil Jose, Dusk. Prologue. Government Ravine has fallen off the map. None of the Filipinos we meet on this tiny tropical island have heard of it. My father remembers its general location, but it has been nearly 60 years since he was on Corregidor, bivouacked with the U.S. 4th Marines on the night before he became a prisoner of the Japanese. We step through 4-foot-high talahib grass, mindful of the fact that we are in a natural habitat for pythons and vipers. We skid down a mud-slick embankment, grabbing onto eucalyptus saplings for support. I keep my eyes on the exposed, gnarled roots, only to feel a dangling vine, as brown as twine, wrapped around my neck. The shade of the jungle canopy offers respite from the blistering sun. The trees are more mature, and we can make out remnants of an old dirt road at the top of a ridge that drops steeply to the sea. By his account, there should be a cave to the east, where there was once a battalion aid station, but we have yet to find it. Perhaps he's mistaken after all. They called it the Rock, a formidable maritime fortress in the mouth of Manila Bay. Corregidor endured 300 air raids and one of the heaviest artillery bombardments of World War II during a grueling siege. The surrender of Corregidor by Lieutenant General Jonathan M. Wainwright on May 6, 1942, marked the chilling defeat of U.S. and Allied forces in the Philippines and the culmination of a series of lightning Japanese victories in the Pacific, from the attack on Pearl Harbor to the capture of Guam, Wake, Hong Kong, Malaya, Singapore, and the Dutch East Indies. With the fall of Corregidor, my father, one of roughly 12,000 men captured on the Rock, began his 3.5-year odyssey as a prisoner of war. We are in the Philippines to retrace a journey that began with hope and purpose in August 1941 and ended in the ashen ruins of Japan in September 1945. My father is 86 years of age and surprised by my interest. I am curious about a chapter of his life that in some ways is still being written. He comes to welcome my questions, a bridge between two men, two generations more than 40 years apart, one of which has known war, one of which has not. Like many former POWs, he has spoken little with his family about his wartime experiences. An Army Distinguished Unit Badge with Oak Leaf Cluster, an American Defense Service Medal with Base Clasp, an Asiatic Pacific Area Campaign Medal with one bronze star, a Philippine defense ribbon with one bronze star. A newspaper clipping from the New York Herald Tribune listing him as missing. A photograph of the medical staff of the Kobe Prisoner of War Hospital in Japan, dated November 1944. These are the mementos of my father's war. As children, my brother, sister, and I glimpsed these artifacts as rarely as we heard the tales behind them. Shards of memories came to light and were then tucked away, along with the Navy uniform he stored in a government-issue footlocker that we rarely saw open. Only one incident can I recall with any clarity. My father and his buddies were once so hungry that they killed, skinned, and ate a cat. It appealed to a boy's delight in the grotesque, lent him a certain stature, and we inquired no further except to ask, "How cat tastes?" "Gamey as hell," came the reply. In retrospect, it is odd but understandable that we grew up knowing so little about World War II, the most devastating war in human history. 50 million lives were lost. 2.35 million Japanese died. 406,000 Americans were killed, and 78,976 Americans were listed as missing. Between September 1940, when Congress enacted the Selective Service Act, and August 1945, 31 million American men registered for the draft, and 16 million men and women served their country. The war mobilized civilian participation to an unprecedented degree. Nearly 2 million American women worked in defense factories. 59,000 women joined the Army Nurse Corps. Some 56,000 physicians volunteered for duty. My father was not a combatant. He was a doctor whose battles were fought on the front line of disease. A lieutenant junior grade in the U.S. Navy Medical Corps, he was stationed on Bataan and then attached to the 4th Marines on Corregidor. As battalion surgeon in a campaign led by the Army 6 years before the first Mobile Army Surgical Hospital, MASH units, came into being, his role was to help, not harm. As if wars could ever be neat, clean surgical operations, the war in the Pacific has been called a dirty war, a war without mercy, as historian John Dower described it. Many American soldiers were instilled with racial stereotypes of the Japanese as treacherous, savage, subhuman. Roosevelt and Churchill themselves vowed to crush the barbarians of the Pacific. Such language bore a striking resemblance to the conception propagated by the Japanese of Westerners who were, said the Japanese school book, Cardinal Principles of the National Polity, intrinsically quite different from the so-called citizens of Occidental countries. The Japanese viewed Americans in particular as soft, self-indulgent, and individualistic. The Japanese, by contrast, belonged to the genetically pure Yamato race, a tribe of 100 million whose superiority lay in conformity. As Shido Minzoku, the leading race, their goal, expressed as Hako Ichiu, or eight corners of the world under one roof, was the subjugation of all other Asians and the replacement of Anglo-American imperialism with a new world order. Under Emperor Hirohito, this became the essence of their kokutai, or national polity. U.S. and Filipino troops fighting on Bataan and Corregidor suffered horribly from hunger and disease. They were expendable, to borrow the title of W.L. White's book about John Bulkley and Motor Torpedo Boat Squadron 3, published in 1944. Sacrificed on the altar of hubris, they were the casualties of an American military strategy known as War Plan Orange 3 that was doomed to failure. They were promised that help is on the way by General Douglas MacArthur, while Roosevelt advocated a policy of Europe first. Japanese soldiers on Bataan confronted similarly harsh conditions, but they had reinforcements, whereas the American and Filipino troops had none. The Japanese were indoctrinated with the code of Bushido, the way of the warrior, and the belief that there was no greater glory than to die in the service of the emperor. The Pacific POW, said E. Bartlett Kerr, underwent an experience unlike that of his millions of fellow veterans. Of the approximately 193,000 Allied prisoners of the Japanese in the Pacific, 36,260 were American. POWs were systematically deprived of food and medicine. They were humiliated, beaten, starved, and in the worst instances, tortured and executed. Their fate hinged on their own ingenuity, the will to live, as one American doctor put it, the occasional kindness of camp guards and commandants, and sheer good luck. It was a war in which absolute power was punished absolutely. 42% of the 25,580 U.S. Army and Navy personnel captured in the Philippines never returned. My father was one of the lucky ones. Like many prisoners of war, he could not have endured on his own. Fred Burley, George Ferguson, John Bookman, and my father, Murray Glusman, were a group, a team, as it were, of four Navy doctors. From disparate backgrounds, they were dedicated to their professions, devoted to their patients, comrades in hardship and healing. All of them were decorated. As doctors, their perspective on war and captivity was unique, but none would valorize their experience. If they suffered under the Japanese, they also experienced moments of genuine compassion.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?